Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, welcome to Smoke News Radio, episode number 36. We're working on Washington, D.C. and England today. Today, we're going to start out from Bloomberg.com. My name's Jason Brodsky, and let's go for it here. This is written by Ranjitha Pakiam. The medical marijuana gets backing from Church of England. Even religious bodies are seeking the light when it comes to cannabis. The Church of England will relax a self-imposed ban and consider investments in medical marijuana, the Financial Times reported. The Church's commissioners for England will still exclude recreational cannabis producers, citing Edward Mason, the head of the responsible investment at the entity that oversees the Church's £12.6 billion investment portfolio. Cannabis is seeing an investment boom in restrictions as its use ease around the world. In the U.S., Illinois recently became the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana, and pot is now legal in Canada. The market for legal cannabis was worth almost $11 billion globally in 2018 and is expected to reach at least $50 billion by 2029. All right, next we have here from TheHill.com. This is lawmakers press Trump officials to change federal marijuana rules. House lawmakers are growing increasingly frustrated with restrictions on federal marijuana research and are putting pressure on regulators to change the rules. While 33 states have legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes, federal research is extremely restricted. During a House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee hearing Wednesday, bipartisan lawyers pressed officials from Food and Drug Administration, Drug Enforcement Administration, and National Institute on Drug Abuse about obstacles to study the safety and effectiveness of cannabis products, including hemp-based cannabinol. States' laws and federal policy are 1,000 miles apart. As more states allow cannabis, the federal government still strictly controls and prohibits it, even restricting legitimate medical research, said Subcommittee Chairwoman Anna Esuchu on Georgia's Esuchu Hillicon Valley. Biden called. Okay, I try to cut and paste. Here we go. All of the administration officials at the hearing agreed the current studies on the benefits and health consequences of marijuana are inadequate. However, they indicated that changes are not going to be immediately forthcoming as more studies are needed. Marijuana is a Schedule I drug, meaning it is in the same category as drugs like heroin and LSD. According to the federal government, it has a high potential for abuse and no accepted medical value. During drug schedules were first established by former President Nixon as part of the 1970 Controlled Substances Act. Marijuana was put into Schedule I at that time and has remained there ever since. Democrats express frustration at the hurdles potential researchers have to overcome. Federal prohibition has failed from a criminal justice system to our health care system, to our state and local government, that are forced to navigate an impossible landscape, said Representative Joe Kennedy, squad of congresswomen offers support after more cut-and-paste mishaps. Research need approval from 3 separate agencies, which can sometimes take upwards of a year. Once approved, they're only allowed to research cannabis grown by a government-authorized farm at the University of Mississippi. That facility has been the sole grower of federally approved marijuana since 1968. Researchers and lawmakers from both parties have said the single source is too limiting, but experts said officials across multiple administrations have not provided an adequate reason why marijuana research is so restricted. Researchers are on a catch-22. They can't conduct cannabis research until they show cannabis has a medical use, but they can't show cannabis has a medical use until they conduct research. DEA senior policy official Matthew Strait said the agency is aware of the limitations and has drafted new regulations that would allow additional marijuana growers. The DEA in August announced it would begin taking steps to expand the number of federally approved marijuana growers, but it first needed to develop new regulations to evaluate the applications. The agency has drafted those rules and submitted them to the White House for regulatory review. Agency staff will be on call tomorrow to discuss them, Strait has said, and was pressed about removing marijuana from the list of controlled substances. The DEA has the authority to change the scheduling of marijuana or completely remove it from the list of controlled substances without input from Congress, but it has yet to do so. Advocates are pushing the House to pass Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, which would deschedule marijuana. But some Republicans express concern about completely removing marijuana from the controlled substances list. Instead, they indicated an openness to changing its schedule to make it easier to research. Descheduling cannabis is a step too far for one I would not support, said Republican Greg Walden. Walden added that rescheduling cannabis may help improve the research landscape. We need more research and more better data. Americans are consuming more cannabis, and policy decisions on this substance have been made in a virtual information vacuum, said Walden. And that breather was from thehill.com. Lawmakers press Trump officials to change federal marijuana laws. I don't have the author's name here. All right. I haven't been doing the news for a little while, so it's getting on my jaw. I'm only a sixth of the way through, son. I have that opening audio clip. That was cool, wasn't it? Super stoked on that. A group, from HighTimes.com in September, a group of hundreds of professors, health experts, doctors, and politicians across UK political parties have signed on to letters calling for medical marijuana to be available for free in the United Kingdom, to make medical cannabis available at no cost to patients. Prescriptions have to come from the National Health Service. The UK's comprehensive, universal, and free at the point of service medical system. Prescribing medical cannabis on the NHS is currently legal in the UK under certain circumstances, but a number of restrictions and bureaucratic obstacles have so far deterred any NHS specialist from prescribing medical cannabis treatments. In their letter, drug and health experts, along with members of parliament, urge UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock to ease those restrictions. And in another letter, another group of MPs representing Liberal Democrats and Labour have asked Prime Minister Boris Johnson to intervene on behalf of patients unable to obtain medical cannabis prescriptions. After nearly a year under the UK's highly restrictive rules for accessing legal medical cannabis, doctors and politicians say it's time for a change. They say the current system of controls isn't working to put medical cannabis in the hands of patients who need it most. And as a result, patients are dying unnecessarily. Experts say from addictions to dangerous painkillers and from symptoms that could be treated effectively and more safely with cannabis. The failure of the medical pharmacy professions to embrace cannabis being made legal is a great worry to patients and carers, and will already have led to more preventable deaths from conditions such as epilepsy, argue senior doctors and MPs in their letter to Health Secretary Hancock. According to a recent study from the Public Health England, a quarter of all adults in the UK use strong painkillers, sleeping aids, and antidepressants. Many doctors and researchers, along with patients themselves, have said that cannabis can treat underlying conditions better than those medicines. Experts in the UK want Hancock to remove restrictions and make it easier for NHS doctors to prescribe medical cannabis. Specifically, they want to do away with rules requiring senior medical doctors to sign off on specialist prescriptions. They also want the regulations for importing medical They also want the regulations for importing medical cannabis products simplified. And in perhaps the most important ask, they want the general practitioners, not just specialists, to be able to write cannabis prescriptions. Medical cannabis is legal in the UK, but almost impossible to get. The proposed changes to the rules governing medical cannabis could make an immediate change in the lives of many patients, with a prescription from a medical provider on the NHS. Patients would be able to obtain cannabis at no charge. Without one, patients who can afford to are turning to private caregivers, where medical cannabis prescriptions can run upwards of £1,250 each month. The high cost ends up driving many patients to unregulated cannabis products for relief. But health experts, professors, and MPs also want to see a longer-term effort to support medical cannabis access. They say educating doctors about medical cannabis and training them how to prescribe it is necessary to overcome physicians' fears. Don't make a mistake. Health experts want to see medical cannabis treatments available for patients suffering from a range of conditions, including epilepsy, chronic pain, anxiety, multiple sclerosis, insomnia, depression, and others. But the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE, a corporate think tank that advises a national health and social policy, referred to the letters by citing a lack of clinical evidence to support the use of cannabis products. NICE does support ongoing efforts to study medical cannabis. In November, Imperial College London professor David Newt, a leading drug expert, will launch an independent clinical trial involving 20,000 patients. All right, next time you're in the UK, getting your herb on. Keep going here. Listen to Smoke News Radio. All right, this is a fun one. This is from thesun.co.uk, their technology area. Elon Musk is sending marijuana to astronauts on the ISS and could create new mutant weed. This is from December. Elon Musk's SpaceX will be sending cannabis to the astronauts on the International Space Station. The space dwellers can expect their delivery to be on a SpaceX Dragon capsule, which is scheduled to make its next trip in March 2020. A SpaceX capsule will make the weed delivery next year. Musk himself may be the man behind SpaceX, but he's not the brains behind these weed plans. It's actually agritech company Front Range Biosciences. The firm recently announced its intentions to send plant cultures of hemp, the legal cannabis strain with low levels of the THC compound, to space. Once there, the cultures are intended to remain in an ISS incubator for about 30 days. Hemp is commonly grown for industrial purposes. During the 30-day period, the hemp will be monitored remotely from the University of Colorado, Boulder, by BioServe Space Technologies. The cannabis cultures will then be sent home to Earth. Once home, Front Range Biosciences will observe what effect, if any, space radiation and microgravity has had on the gene expression of hemp. Front Range CEO Jonathan Vaught said, "There is science to support the theory that plants in space experience mutations. This is an opportunity to see whether those mutations hold up once brought back to Earth, and if there are new commercial applications." Hemp is a strain of cannabis that is grown for industrial uses. It can be refined and turned into a number of items, including paper, clothing, biodegradable plastic, and even animal feed. Its low concentrations of THC and higher concentrations of cannabis CBD mean it can have little to no psychoactive effect. Elon Musk smoked a joint during his podcast chat with Joe Rogan. Musk has been connected to cannabis before. The eccentric billionaire was famously captured smoking a marijuana roll-up on the Los Angeles-based Joe Rogan Experience podcast, because the drug is legal in the state of California. He came under fire for this because weed is prohibited for people with government security clearances, which Musk was given in 2015 when SpaceX began launching satellites for the Pentagon. Shortly after smoking weed, Musk dressed in a black t-shirt that said, "Occupy Mars," told comedian Roger, I'm not a regular smoker of weed. He added, I don't find this very good for productivity. Let you know about the ISS. It's an international space station. Large spacecraft orbits Earth and houses astronauts. Many countries work together, and there's been a lot of people living on approximately 250 miles above Earth. Living on the ISS, there's gyms, bathrooms, space labs, and now they've grown hemp. All right, we're listening to Smoke News Radio, launching episode 36 into space. See if we can dodge all that misinformation debris. We've got Financial Times coming down. High demands prompt launch of Europe's first cannabis ETF, whatever ETF is. Wellness ETF? You got different acronyms. Okay, this is in January. European savers will soon be offered their first opportunity to invest in an exchange-traded fund focused on the fast-growing legal marijuana industry. Canadian fund group Purpose Investment plans to launch the Medical Cannabis and Wellness EFT from January 13th, which will be Europe's first such product. The fund will be listed in Germany and made available to investors in UK, Italy, and Ireland. Marijuana funds have proved popular in North America despite a poor year for the sector. The world's largest cannabis ETF, the U.S.-listed ETFMG Alternative Harvest, which has $673 million of assets, according to data compiler ETFGI, lost 28.5% last year. The second largest fund, 3.27M Horizons Medical Marijuana Life Sciences ETF, listed in Canada, lost 33.8%. Purpose, which manages C8BN of assets in Canada, included 34.2M Marijuana Opportunities Fund, worked with ETF issuer. I like acronyms. Come on. God, we're just going to jump through this. Public companies, legal cannabis, Church of England dropped marijuana from its list in 2018. So people jumped in, they got out, jumped in, buffed it up, jumped out. Is money really lost or they just sold chunks of it off? These are giant amounts of stuff. Okay, here we go. From marijuanamoment.net. The UK Parliament Committee endorses decriminalizing drugs. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Oh, and we're at almost halfway. Okay. Halfway is the fun part. Okay. From October, the UK House of Commons panel is calling on the government to decriminalize drugs and adopt other harm reduction approaches to address a growing overdose crisis. We recommend a radical change in UK drugs policy from criminal justice to a health approach. Let's grab some guy with ADHD and have him read all this. And with the job surgeries. Go. A health-focused and harm-reduction approach would not only benefit those who are using drugs, but reduce harm, too, and the cost for their wider communities, reads a report issued on Wednesday by the Health and Social Care Committee. Decriminalization of possession for personal use saves money from the criminal justice system as more effectively invested in prevention and treatment. Every drug death is avoidable. However, the United Kingdom, and in particular Scotland, have amongst the highest drug death rates in Europe. The evidence we have heard leads us to conclude that UK drugs policy is failing. The panel said that decriminalization alone will not be effective without investing in holistic harm reduction, support, and treatment services for drug addiction. To that end, it is also voiced in support for syringe exchange programs, drug checking services, naloxone safe consumption facilities, and heroin-assisted treatment components that it says can all play an important role in preventing deaths among drug users, as well as protecting their communities by reducing the harm from discarded syringes and drug-related crime. The community also wants to move responsibility for drug policy from the Home Office, which handles crime, to the Department of Health and Social Care. We strongly recommend this move, the report says. When it comes to the proposal to remove criminal penalties for drug possession, the committee wrote about witnessing the success of that policy in Portugal, where it was enacted in 2001. On our visit to Portugal, we saw a system marked by a positive attitude to service users, which recognized the impact that chaotic lifestyles could have on engagement with support and treatment. The report says there was a striking ethos of holistic, non-judgmental treatment and access to services focused on the needs of individuals rather than the convenience of the system. The lawmakers said the UK-based treatment professions share a similar ethos, but their capacity to deliver is compromised by inadequate funding and policy framework. The Portugal model, they write, has had an impact on stigma and has led to a dramatic drop in drug-related deaths without significant increases in drug use. All those we met in Portugal involved in this policy area were very positive about their model. The lawmakers said, on introduction, there had been significant opposition, but there is now political consensus and nobody would want to go back. Some of those we met here now of the view that the next step should be legalization and recreation to enable the generation of taxation revenue and quality control. Efforts to improve the unacceptable high rates of drug-related deaths would be strengthened to explicitly reframing drug use as a health rather than a criminal justice issue. The panel's report also recounts how members toured supervised drug consumption facilities in Frankfurt, Germany, and recommends that they be piloted in areas of high need in the UK. Police representatives told us that these facilities should not be viewed simply as allowing people to take illicit drugs. They are about safety, stopping drug overdoses, and very importantly, providing access to a wraparound of other services to eventually stop the person's drug use. They wrote, harm reduction approaches such as drug consumption reduce the wider harm. Let me reread that. Harm reduction approaches reduce the wider harms to local communities as well as for those using drugs. Harm reduction approaches such as drug consumption rooms. Okay. Well, yeah. Harm reduction. A government spokesman rejected the committee's recommendation to remove criminal penalties for low-level drug offenses, saying it would not eliminate the crime committed by the illicit trade, nor would it address the harms associated with drug dependence, and the misery that this can cause to families and communities. But Dr. Sarah Wollaston, MP, chair of the Health and Social Care Committee, said that a holistic approach centered on improving the health of and reducing the harm faced by drug users, as well as increasing the treatment available must be a priority going forward. This approach would not only benefit those who are dependent on drugs, but benefit their wider communities. Fantastic. Okay, we're at the 30-minute mark here. Just don't touch that cable. There we go. You got to make sure you have the highest quality of not.
Yeah.
Okay. The sound of pulling marijuana apart. Oh, yeah. Can you smell that? All right. Sometimes you have to pause for the cause, because reading stuff out loud gets, like, uses a lot of energy. And it's good to chill and relax and justify every breath you take. Justification. This is justified. That's what it is. It is justified marijuana consumption. It is justification. You justify your ball. Pack it in.
Yup. Yo, boss. I need a smoke bowl. Hold on.
Yeah. It's good when your boss is the creator. And you're like, go, creator. I mean, really, I guess your boss is money, and you got to get your money part covered. However, you can do that. So, cover your money part and do your fun things out there and, you know, leave a good mark for the future. Read the confusion that other people are causing. And I swear, like, these are not, like, 10th grader articles. Okay. Here we go. This is from the hempgazette.com. President Donald Trump. On medical marijuana. U.S. President Donald Trump has again made it very clear he'll do what he likes when it comes to medical marijuana. Last Friday, President Trump signed H.R. 1158, the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2020, into law, which authorizes appropriations to fund the operation of certain agencies in the federal government through to September 30th next year. Division B, Section 531 of the Act says none of the funds it makes available to the Department of Justice may be used to prevent states or territories from implementing their own laws to authorize the use, distribution, possession, or cultivation of medical marijuana. Not included by this protection are South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and Nebraska. The wording presents a bit of a problem for the Trump administration, as while hemp is legal in the USA, marijuana is not at a federal level. In his accompanying notes on the signing of H.R. 1158, President Trump says, "My administration will treat this provision consistent with the president's constitutional responsibility to faithfully execute the laws of the United States." This has worried some that he is about to make a move against medical cannabis. However, it's not the first time it has occurred. Back in 2017, we reported that similar wording was used in notes accompanying President Trump's signing of the the glitch volume, it creeps on its own. Back in 2017, we reported similar wording was used in notes accompanying President Trump's signing of the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2017, the Omnibus Appropriations Bill, without any subsequent impact. It's likely just a signal reminding folks who is in charge of the country. In September this year, President Trump indicated that he was taking a wait-and-see approach to marijuana generally and continuing to allow states to make their own decisions. While he has been known to change his mind on the on things from time to time, by his own admission, the president is a stable genius, and hopefully there will be some positive progress on medical cannabis at a federal level. There is the not too distant future. Being a self-described hugely successful businessman, no doubt he can already see the positive impact to the economy medical cannabis has had and can have, and also realize the potential for it to do good among those who could benefit most from it. Okay. Let's get into next one from Marijuana Moment, read to you on Smoke News Radio. The Congress attaches marijuana, hemp, and CBD provisions to federal spending bills. And so this is kind of like a little precursor to give us some more detail on what he signed here. Former Vice President Joe Biden affirmed that he is opposing to legalizing marijuana without further studying its potential health risks. In an interview with New York Times editorial board that was published on Friday, the 2020 Democratic presidential candidate was asked to explain his more moderate approach to cannabis policy, with nearly all of his primary opponents, as well as the public, have embraced broad legalization. Because I think science matters, he said. I mean, one of the reasons I'm running against the guy I'm running against is science matters, not fiction. He also said he's not arguing that marijuana is a gateway drug, something he did not indicate might be the case last year, though he walked it back after facing pushback and being attacked for the statement on a debate stage. What I'm arguing is there have been studies showing that it complicates other problems if you already have a problem with certain drugs, Biden said. So we should just study it and decriminalize it, but study it and find out. But the medical community has come up with a final definitive answer as to whether or not it does cause it. If it does cause other problems, then make it clear to the people. So that's a place you don't not engage in the use of it. To research arrhythmia. People have arrhythmia. Just many African Americans get arrhythmia. The former vice president's marijuana reform plan involves rescheduling the plant to make it easier for researchers to access, decriminalizing simple possession, and expunging prior cannabis records. The members of the Times editorial board noted that marijuana is legal in some form in a majority of states, to which Biden says, sure they have. I get that, but that doesn't mean that science shouldn't be looked at. The former vice president has previously said that states should be able to implement their own legalization laws without federal interference. Asked whether he'd support legalizing cannabis while simultaneously encouraging research into it, the candidate said, no. Why would you promote the science if the science would say it had a bad idea to legalize it? You've got to find out the facts first. But by the way, let's get something straight here. I've argued for some time total decriminalization. Anyone who has a record, it should be immediately expunged. So when you come to work for the New York Times and they ask you if you have any problems, any criminal arrests, you don't have to say yes, because it will be completely expunged. And in fact, there should be anyone who's in fact has served time in prison or is in the prison which a few people are these days, that there immediately be released and the record totally expunged. This is Joe Biden talking all this, by the way. Earlier in the interview, Biden was asked to reflect on anything that you have changed in your mind. And he brought up his record on criminal justice reform, particularly his role in crafting punitive anti-drug laws aimed at crack cocaine as a senator during the Reagan administration. I made a big mistake in the criminal justice side when I said it's easy to forget it, but now when all of a sudden crack was introduced at a great threat to the United States of America, he said. And you had a medical folks at the time saying, well, crack, because it immediately penetrates the membrane, powder cocaine, under the Anti-Drug Abuse Act that Biden helped draft was an original code. Oh, okay. So crack offenses were made 100 times more severe than powder cocaine. And Biden was signing that. Sorry, some things trip me up when I'm reading. I don't like reading things like that. Because okay. But it's put a lot of people in jeopardy, put them in jail, and it's had a disproportionate impact on minority communities, particularly African American communities. Well, yeah, you keep them in jail. Well, Biden, we saw I spent a lot of. We used to argue. Okay, I'm over that article. Sorry. I tried reading one with Biden. So but I guess I could read one with Bernie real quick. It's Burn with Bernie. All right. Here, take a sip. It's when the news just gets so preposterous. It's just, oh my God, keep going. It's from the Fox. Fox News. Where does Bernie Sanders stand on the issues? The Democratic Socialist Senator from Vermont is making another run on the Democratic presidential nomination after making a name for himself, but falling short in his 2016 campaign against Hillary Clinton. Though he is an independent in the Senate, where he has served since 2007, the former Burlington mayor and Vermont congressman has rallied Democrats' progressive base to sit near the top of the most national and early state polls. Here is where Sanders stands on some of the top issues voters care about in the 2020 campaign. Sanders is the author of the Medicare for All bill in the Senate and is fond of reminding his fellow presidential contenders that he wrote the damn bill. Sanders, along with Senator Elizabeth Warren Dumas, advocates a full single-payer health care system that would essentially outlaw private health insurance. I thought this was the one where he just talked about. I thought I had the real Sanders. I thought I had a real Sanders one. No, that's just his platform. Believe me, man, I can't invest my life in trying to get all these articles together for you people. So this is definitely not the easiest thing in the world, but I just keep rocking it. You know, there's a lot of things I invested my life in. So this next one, we're going to give Joe Biden another run. From the New York Magazine, 2011, November. Joe Biden's fringe views on medical marijuana could get Trump reelected. Barack Obama wrote his silence in the 2020 Democratic primary. There we go. Okay. I like stuff in the background. It keeps me going. All right. The New York Magazine. By Eric Levitz. Joe Biden's fringe views on marijuana could get Trump reelected. Barack Obama broke his silence in 2020 Democratic primary Friday with a stern warning to his party's presidential hopefuls. Voters, including Democrats, are not driven by the same views that are reflected on certain Twitter feeds or the activist wing of our party, Obama said. And that's not a criticism to the activist wing. Their job is to poke and prod and text and inspire and motivate. But the candidate's job, whoever that ends up being, is to get elected. the Democratic base will bristle at all these sentiments. We all want to believe that the Venn diagram from our preferred policies, the most electoral expedient ones, is the perfect circle. We all want our leaders to stop mincing words and start making a bold, unapologetic case for our agenda until its moral truth becomes unmistakably to all, or at least the plurality of voters in Wisconsin. But that just isn't how politics works, and the stakes of evicting Trump from the Oval Office next year are too high for a Democrat to use their presidential primaries a venue for its base ideological self-expression. The party's rank and file may revere Joe Biden more than any other candidate. Nevertheless, they must heed Obama's advice and recognize that Uncle Joe's far-out views on weed would harsh the heartland's vibes. At a town hall in Las Vegas, Nevada, Saturday, the Democratic forerunner was asked if his longtime opposition to the legalization of marijuana has changed. Here's how he replied. No, it hasn't changed. I think states should be able to make a judgment to legalize marijuana. I think that's okay. But let me tell you, the truth of the matter is there's not nearly been enough evidence that's been acquired as to whether or not it is a gateway drug. It's a debate, and I want a lot more before I legalize it nationally. I want to make sure we know a lot about the science behind it. That's why I want to move it from Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3 so you can, in fact, do this. This position may play well for anti-legalization activists on Twitter or in any state-loving playbook. Progressives, but salt to the earth Americans, flyover countries, want big governmentee to keep off the hands of the bongies. The Pew Research survey released last week found that 67% of Americans believe the use of marijuana should be legally. A recent Gallup poll put the figure at a statistically identically 66%. Critically, weed legalization isn't just popularity with the public as a whole, but also with key electoral collegial constituencies. In Pew survey, no college educated votee who ever overrepresent you in battleground states were only more likely to support legally than college educated, with only 31% of the working class American backing BD stance. This comports to the findings of a recent poll for progressive think tank Data for Progressives and Data Sciences firm Civis Analysis. By fielding a large sample national survey, they applied state-of-the-art demographic modeling techniques to its results. DFP was able to estimate the level of support for marijuana legalization in all 50 states. It found that legal weed polling at a very nice 69%. Whew. Data contorts the findings of a recent poll for the progressive think tank for data progression and the data science from firm Civis Analysis. By fielding a large sample national survey and then applying a state-of-the-art demographic modeling technique to its results, DFP was able to estimate the level of support for marijuana legalization in all 50 states. It found legal weed support for marijuana legalization Pennsylvania and at 68%. Oh, I gotta make this font a little bigger. 68. Okay, there we go. Meanwhile, independent voters in those states back legalization at even higher levels, with nearly 3/4 of Indy, Michiganders, Wisconsinites, and Pennsylvanians voicing approval support among independents in Sun Belt. Battlegrounds like Florida and Arizona was nearly identical, but what's more, it's an unsurprising find given younger Americans' relatively high affinity for marijuana and low propensity for casting ballots. Support for legalizing weed among registered non-voters in the battleground states hovered around 75%. The analysis' most remarkable findings, however, have been this: majority of the Trump voters in 49 U.S. states backed an end to weed prohibition. Marijuana legalization infrastructure might not have been the most important and salient issue of the day, but there simply aren't many other policy fights that are more favorable to the Democratic Party, hoping to win back non-college educated independents in the Rust Belt. Nearly three-quarters of them want Uncle Sam, want to run a mobilization campaign that brings them learning non-voters off of democracy sidelines. Virtually all of them are high on legal weed, worried that narrow casting to targeted constituents could pull Democrats too far from the American mainstream. Even among Republican voters, a solid majority are 420 friendly. Biden's defenders will note that he doesn't oppose decriminalization of marijuana position, only the legalization of its sale, but such equivocation just blunts the Democrats' advantage of the issue by needlessly killing the buzz of pot constituents. Advocacy organizations on weed legalization, preferred policy of Cosmos Ardent supporters, is the same as the critical swing vote. Biden's stance demobilizes the former for the sake of appealing slightly less to the latter. Virtually every other candidate in 2020 race recognizes the folly of Biden's stance. Everyone from Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg to Bernie Sanders has endorsed legalizing recreational marijuana in no uncertain terms. Biden's decision to put principle of political expediency on this issue may command respect in some quarters, but we've seen where that gets us. Hillary Clinton headed the radical center's demands for ideological purity on pot in 2016, and two pro-pot legalization third-party candidates combined for an exceptionally high share of ballots, thereby eroding her margin for error in key Rust Belt states. The Democrats can't afford to make the same mistake twice. They must hear the subtext of Obama's advice and be it nothing short of political malpractice to vote for Joe Biden and his reefer madness. Biden's fringe views on marijuana could get Trump reelected. Okay, that was a mouthful. Let's see. That was There's the New York Magazine, NY Mag, by Eric Levitt, L-E-V-I-T-Z. Okay. Let's see if we can. Okay, this is going to be a fun one. This is from thesun.co.uk. And this is legalizing cannabis in the UK would fuel violent crime and turn a new generation into hard drug addicts, warn experts. I'm going to have to probably jump a little on the end of this. So let's go. Legalizing cannabis in the UK would fuel violent crime. Sun.co. Legalizing cannabis in the UK would fuel violent crime and turn a new generation to hard drug addicts, warn experts. Legalizing cannabis will fuel violent conflict in our towns and turn a new generation of people into hard drugs. A cross-party group of MPs is calling for the UK to follow Canada and make dope available on the high street for recreational use. Experts are warning that the legalization of cannabis in the UK could do nothing to solve gang violence or get rid of dealers. But British drug counselor Stephen Graham has seen the damage that easily available cannabis can cause after moving to Los Angeles, where recreational marijuana sale is legal. Seven tells The Sun on Sunday, if you think knife crime is bad now, it could get worse if marijuana is legalized. Legal cannabis does not get rid of the dealers. It normalizes drug use and makes the problem worse. In America, the black market in weed has boomed. Soon they want new, cheaper, and more potent varieties that are not available from licensed sellers, and competition to supply it is still fierce. Legalization has done nothing to solve gang violence. You would have to be mad to legalize cannabis in Britain. Experts spoke out after a group of MPs returned from Canada, the first wealthy G7 country to legalize the recreation cannabis use, and called for it to be legal here within 5 years. Labour's David Lamy, Tory Jonathan Nyanloli, Lib Demograph Sir Lamb, and Lib Dem Sir Norman Lamb argued that criminalizing its use forces law-abiding people into contact with street dealers. Totem MP says, I want the market legalized, regulated, and taken away from the crime gangs for young people not to be criminalized by use and properly educated. I want to see the strength of the stuff reduced, labeled, and properly organized. Countries from Holland to Uruguay have either decriminalized or legalized cannabis use. The trend often starts when the government allows it to be made available for medical use, and as it happens with cannabis oil in Britain now. This week, PM Boris Johnson welcomed pro-cannabis researcher Blair Gibbs into the heart of Downing Street when he made him an advisor. Danny Kruger brought it on to the PM's political secretary. He also called for an end to the prohibition of the drug. Yet hard drug use rocketed in Holland after marijuana was decriminalized. Former Met Detective Chief Inspector Nick Novell says, cannabis is a gateway drug and letting shops sell it will tempt more people to smoke it. Some people will get addicted and move on to other substances. Others will go straight to hard drugs because cannabis is legal and no longer cool. They drew comparisons with Canada, where 79% of users will go to illegal dealers for stronger skunk despite legalization. In Holland, hard drug use has skyrocketed since cannabis was decriminalized. Drug counselor Stephen Graham says British MPs would be mad to go ahead with the move as soon as we see users search for cheaper, more potent varieties. Drug takers are thrill seekers, and once their tolerance for one drug goes up, they will start looking around for a new thrill, like cocaine. Cocaine, the biggest cause of knife crime in the UK. Chris DePoyla, MP's Canada trip, was part sponsored by the North American cannabis company MPX, is poised to make a fortune if commercial sales given the go-ahead in the UK. In fact, big corporations have already been investing millions of dollars in lobbying money here. Kevin Savoy, President of Canada, is doing it. Drug takers are thrill seekers, and once their tolerance for one drug goes up, they will start looking around for a new thrill. This is by Kevin Savoy. Thank you guys for listening very much. Smoke News Radio. And if we can get news going, here we go. Cheers.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. That it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight.
Smoke News Radio. Thank you for listening.